The Direct Sadhana by Dr. M. Sadashiva Rao. Self-inquiry is the sadhana or spiritual practice that Sri Bhagavan, in His infinite grace, has made available to all seekers. Many aspirants who take up this sadhana get disheartened when they meet with the difficulties at the very beginning of their practice and give it up, attributing their difficulties to the advanced nature of the sadhana. In reality, initial difficulties are common to all sadhana involving meditation and concentration. Every aspirant will experience them when they attempt to make a drastic change from the long accustomed habit of looking outwards at the world to one of looking inward, keeping the mind tranquil and free from thoughts. Once the aspirant makes this change, self-inquiry is found to be easy and simple. How to make this change? In the recorded talks, Bhagavan has given brief directives on how one should develop the habit of looking inwards and cultivate a thought-free mind. The full implications of these directives and a few subsequent steps of the sadhana proper are described in this article. The mind is by nature restless. Give it peace, make it free from distractions, and train it to look inwards. Make this a habit. This is done by ignoring the outer world and removing the obstacles to peace of mind. Restlessness of the mind, the main obstacle to this sadhana, is caused by a rush of thoughts created by preoccupation with the outer world and its distractions. It is necessary to develop the habit of ignoring the outer world, of removing from the mind the thoughts created by it, and of looking inwards. It is necessary, therefore, to develop vairagya, which Bhagavan defines as loss of interest in the non-self. Interest in or devotion to the self or God within can be developed only if interest in everything else is lost. The same is implied in Bhagavan's words. Drawing in the thoughts, restraining them and preventing them from going outwards is vairagya. Fixing them on the self is sadhana or abhyasa practice. Vairagya and abhyasa are both essential for the sadhana. Vairagya turns the mind away from the outer world and makes it look inwards. Abhyasa fixes the mind on the self. Says Bhagavan, only after perfect vairagya, the mind becomes steady. However, vairagya does not mean giving up of one's duties and responsibilities in the outer world. Says Bhagavan, give up thoughts. You need not give up anything else. A thought-free mind. A thought-free mind, in addition to vairagya, is a sine qua non for the sadhana. Thoughts are created by vasanas or hidden tendencies of the mind. These are mostly vishaya vasanas related to objects of sense gratification and can be easily removed from the mind by the steady silent quest of who am I? The mind turned inward concentrates one-pointedly on the single thought. If, with the mind introverted, one concentrates on the single thought I, one at first finds a series of stray thoughts rising up to drive out the single thought. The stray thoughts are born of vishaya vasanas. In this context, Bhagavan says, all that is inside will have to come out. There is no other way than to pull up the mind when it goes astray. The coming into the open of hidden vasanas in the form of thoughts, far from being an obstacle, gives the required opportunity to remove the vasanas from the mind. Removing vishaya vasanas. Three different methods of preliminary practice for clearing the mind of its vishaya vasanas are given here. The first and the usual method is carried out during the initial practice of one-pointed concentration. As stray thoughts come to the mind, one after another, each thought is rejected or thrown out with a firm will. One should not play with the thought, as this generates other thoughts, and this will go on ad infinitum. The thought must be thrown out of the mind forthwith, and the mind more intensely concentrated on the single thought, I. One-pointed concentration can now proceed with little interference from stray thoughts. This is where vairagya or lack of interest in the outer world has its value. With progress in the sadhana, vairagya becomes perfect and stray thoughts will seldom interfere. The second method of removing vishaya vasanas from the mind is carried out without wasting time set apart for the sadhana. Bhagavan tells a devotee much plagued with stray thoughts, if you are able to be without any thoughts while awake, it is enough. This is valuable advice. The practice of keeping the mind free from stray thoughts in leisure hours helps to keep the mind thought-free during the sadhana. This practice is best carried out with the mind extroverted as in normal activities and with eyes open to the world. It brings about at the same time a gradual loss of interest in the outer world. One-pointed concentration can be carried out with eyes open without being disturbed by what is seen. The third and the most effective method is satsang. It involves no special efforts on the part of the aspirant. Close contact with a sadguru, one who has realized the self, inhibits vishaya vasanas, promotes introversion of the mind, and permits one-pointed concentration to proceed smoothly. Even a place hallowed by the sadguru will have the same effect. The aspirant should practice under this most potential influence as long as possible. Bhagavan asks, if association with sages is obtained, to what purpose or the various methods of self-discipline? Deep meditation, when the aspirant acquires through the practices described the ability to remain thought-free, one-pointed concentration on the single thought I proceeds undisturbed. The thought I must be as abstract as possible. It should not be associated with any other thought, such as who am I? I is the ego, etc. As such thoughts delay going into deep meditation. A devotional feeling that I represents pure being or the self or God helps. With practice, the concentration on I becomes more intense and the mind gets fully introverted. This is deep meditation and self-inquiry proper. For sustained practice, certain other conditions are also necessary. The aspirant should be seated comfortably with back and head erect and body relaxed. Eyes may be kept closed or open. There should be no undercurrent of hurry or anxiety whatever. Under these propitious conditions, they thought I occupies the whole mind, which now becomes sattvic, and embodies their pure I or pure awareness. Bhagavan has given valuable advice in this context on waking from sleep, but before becoming aware of the world, there is experienced the pure I. If this is recalled to memory and concentrated upon, he says, one can meditate with eyes open without being disturbed by the world phenomena. He says further, this pure I is the only passage to the self-luminous Supreme Being. If deep meditation succeeds in holding on to the pure I, it would be a shortcut to reach the heart, since it is the self. The reason why Bhagavan calls self-inquiry a direct path will now be clear. The thought I, representing the individual being or ego, gets lost smoothly and rapidly in the pure I or the Supreme Being with meditation on a mantra of the name of God. Further time and efforts are involved. Sinking of the mind in the heart. The sinking of the mind in the heart can be clearly felt and recognized. Bhagavan has explained it in these words. The thought process that is struck by reason of swoon, sleep, excessive joy, consuming sorrow, fear, etc., enters its own place, namely the heart. The person is not then aware of this entry into the heart, whereas in samadhi, he is clearly aware of such entry. Samadhi is the state that ensues when the mind sinks in the heart. Explaining its occurrence in deep meditation, Bhagavan says, what really happens is that the thinker, mind, the object of thinking, I, and thought, one-pointed concentration, all merge in the one source, the heart, which is consciousness and bliss. The traits, Triputi, described as the knower, known and knowing, and as meditator, object of meditation, and the process of meditation, cease to exist in consciousness when the mind sinks into the heart. The direct experience of the self, says Bhagavan, is going beyond duality and traits. Going beyond the traits cannot be known by the aspirant when it occurs, but loss of the sense of duality between his individual being and the self can be clearly felt. It is the union of the individual being, mind or consciousness, with the Supreme Being, pure consciousness. It is a thought-free state and a moment of great bliss and exaltation for the aspirant. The experience lasts only for a moment, since the mind comes out of the heart owing to the pull of the vasanas, and the sense of duality revives. Abidance in the self. The sinking of the mind in the heart for the first time is a great moment for the aspirant, as it brings Guru's grace to support all his further efforts. On this, Bhagavan says, Guru's grace is really inside you, in your heart, and the moment you effect subsidence or merger of the mind in its source, the heart, by any of the methods, grace rushes forth, spouting as from a spring within you. When this happens, the aspirant will, of his own accord, surrender himself completely to the Guru. With the Guru's grace, the aspirant continues to practice deep meditation to the point of sinking the mind in the heart until it becomes effortless and spontaneous. It becomes possible for the aspirant to hold on to the heart during his waking hours and carry on his worldly duties. This is still not a permanent merger of the mind in the heart, but only a temporary subsidence, for the vasanas still persist. Bhagavan calls this abidance in the self. He says, one should abide in the self without the sense of being the doer. Even when engaged in work, born of destiny, like a madman, abidance in the self helps to remove vasanas from the mind. Apart from the loss of the sense of doership, it has a profound influence on the character and outlook of the aspirant, who gains perfect equanimity to meet any situation. Samadhi. In the beginning, sustained efforts are required to go fully into the Samadhi state. In the sadhana of self-inquiry, Samadhi is not a state of mental blank or unconsciousness, as the English word trance may suggest. It is a state of intense wakefulness with an overpowering feeling of perfect bliss. It is the real state called Jagrat Sushupti, underlying the three states of waking, dream, and deep sleep. It cannot be described in words. Ribhu Gita contains a unique description of it. In the earliest stage of the practice of Samadhi, thoughts intrude. This is called Savikalpa Samadhi. There is still a sense of duality or differentiation between one's own being and the Supreme Being. This passes on into Nirvikalpa Samadhi when there is no duality and no thought. The self is experienced as a vast expanse of pure consciousness, a waveless ocean of awareness pure. However, these are temporary states, and so the mind reverts to duality when Samadhi ends. One must practice either Savikalpa or Nirvikalpa Samadhi regularly while leading an active life in the world, so that the Sahaja Samadhi of the Jnani may result. He says realization must be amidst all the turmoils of life. In Sahaja Samadhi, all the vasanas are lost and the mind has merged permanently in the self without any possibility of reversion to duality. Thoughts, words, and actions are fully possible. This is the supreme state of inherence in the self, which is all-pervading and all-powerful. Says Bhagavan, it is very seldom that a person can realize his true being without the grace of the Guru. Source from The Mountain Path, October 1976.